I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
From the Fifth Quarter Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, you're listening to Coach Unplugged. And now, your host, Steve Collins.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Coach Unplugged. So excited you decided to join us. Before we jump in, a couple things. First of all, we'd love if you'd leave a five-star review. Those reviews are really big to us. Also, go over and check out our sponsors, Dr. Dish, the number one shooting machine on the market. So easy to set up, easy to use, will make your team, you know, will make your team better shooters. I can guarantee that. And not necessarily scorers, but the great thing is they've dealt with that problem. And now you have trainers there. You have things on the Dr. Dish. It will actually help you become a better scorer. So go over and check it out. Mention Coach Unplugged. They'll give you $350 off. Also, go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. Right now, we got a quarterly membership. We're trying something new here. We think it's a great innovation for all of you. Maybe jump in for 3 months and kick the tires around. We believe in teachhoops.com so much that we have a 14-day free trial right now. No one else has that. No one else. Are you going to get their bat phone and be able to get on a call and help them through? So our roadmap is second to none too. It will walk you through your basketball journey. So come over and check us out at teachhoops.com. Let's head off to the podcast.
Okay.
So we're working on our defensive full court defense, whether it could be just pick up a man, or it could be we're pressing, or it could be our zone press. It could be right. Our fall back into our zone. But we could just call our defense, and we do it for both teams because on the trip back, we expect the other team to be executing their same thing or executing what we call. And I call out different defenses for different teams. I never let them play the same defense against each other.
Do you call out defenses on the fly in a game, or do you always have it preset?
Oh, we can call it out on the fly. That's what all these reps are for, so they can get used to hearing if you call something different at the last second.
Okay.
If it's a dead ball situation like a free throw, yeah, we'll call it out and we'll let them know. And they're always looking to see what are we in? Because right. we kind of try to, you know, keep teams off balance with what we're playing. But you can see, you know, we'll call the number out. I called out blue. We're in our 1-3-1. Our 1-2. This is our 1-2-2 half court press.
Okay.
So we were able to get a steal there, get a quick drag screen there. Move the ball, moving bodies. Nice chase screen here. Three from behind the arc. So, again, just good, you know, good reps. And so then we'll circle them up again. You know, we'll call out a different color to take the ball out, different group. We might call a different defense. You know, it just depends on what we need to work on. We have a set defense that we're working on that particular day.
Okay.
And the last thing I would show you, if I was going to show you, is like – most guys, you know, scrimmage. We scrimmage. We do stuff called three stops and all that stuff. But
yeah, stop, score, stop. We do all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, we do that. But this right here was something that we did this summer with USA Basketball, and it really was really, really good. We call it 5-on-0, 5-on-5. So what happens is you'll have a group. They'll go 5-on-0 on the opposite end. They'll execute a set, or they might do your transition break, like quick strike for us. Yeah, they'll do that. And then they'll come back down, and they'll be playing offense against a defense that's there now. So you're going 5-on-0, execute whatever you want them to execute down in that opposite end. And they come back, they take it out, and, you know, they come back down, they're playing defense or playing offense against a defense now. And so now they want to execute what it is, do whatever you call. And you don't have to let them execute what they just ran down there. You could or you may not. Right. But I think it gives them a chance to go down there, execute it. And like this was an early practice, so we were trying to work on our transition stuff. So we worked on our quick strike. You can see we're trying to score quick. All right, and then we'll come back and they'll play defense against play offense against a defense now. And then this was a zone. We had the team play a zone. And so now we had just worked on zone offense, so it gave us a chance to execute our zone offense. And now if this team scores, let's say the blue team would score, normally the blue team would get to go back down, run 5-0, and get to come back on offense again.
Right.
And the white got to play defense again until they get a stop.
I love that because he wanted them to – yeah, I like that.
Yeah, but in this case, because it was early in the year, we alternated it just so the groups can get enough reps with each other. But okay. As we build that thing, you know, it's a competitive deal. But again, 5-0, they go down and execute, and then they got to come down. This time, this group was in a 3-2 zone. The last group was in a 2-3 zone. So now they got to try to score and execute with the zone offense we had been working on earlier in practice. And so now that group will go and take it down 5-0. But it's just a different way of doing it, and it gives it a little bit more of a real feel because now they're bringing it from half, you know, from down on the other end of the court down to the front court. That's all I got.
Okay, that's perfect. Let's. I have some questions that I've written down.
Let me take this share off.
Yeah, okay. There we go. Perfect. So do you tape practice?
Yeah, we tape practice as much as we can. Yeah.
Okay, and what do you do with the tape? That's what I ask coaches.
We do edits. We do edits. Like I'll sign an edit to a coach a day. Like I said, you got practice edit for tomorrow. So they'll take the film. If we practice today, they'll take the film today, and they'll make edits on different things we did well, we might didn't do well. We'll show it right before practice the following day.
Okay.
And so, it might be a day where I say, I need you to hammer them, meaning show all the stuff that was bad, you know, and it might be a day I say, hey, let's take it easy. Let's show some good stuff today, you know, or just try to find a balance. But it's just about, you know, trying to make sure that we prepare them for what we need to be better at the next day at practice or, you know, that day at practice when we actually show the film.
Okay. And do you always have I saw that there was a clock running. Do you always run a clock on drill?
I got in my practice plan, they have minute increments by everything. And my managers, they know the practice plan. So they'll put the clock on for whatever it is. A lot of times I go over the time. And if I need to stay on time, I'll tell them, hey, tap that horn if I go over, you know, and I'll make adjustments. But
right. And I tell coaches, especially the ones that are maybe a middle school coach or somewhere else, you know, get your phone and get it set up because it what it does is it keeps you on track too.
Yeah.
We're teachers and we're trying to teach, but it's like I can't spend that. I got to move on, and we can do it tomorrow.
Right.
So how do you? So explain how your when you set up your practice plan, how do you set it up? Do you do like times? Like I'm starting and explain when you practice at pace and how long you go. Can you explain those things for people who are listening?
Yeah, the way we do it, we start practice with conditioning, shooting, stretching.
Okay.
So the shooting is a drill we normally do, something going up and down the floor, getting shots in, trying to beat a goal, and then once we get them warm, we'll stretch. After we stretch, we go into our defensive stuff, or we stretch and I'll bring them together and I'll give them a winning thought for the day. And then we'll start practice, and then we'll go into our defensive stuff. And we'll transition from defensive stuff, let's say 30, 40 minutes of defensive stuff, into shooting. So because I use shooting breaks as like a water break. So meaning like that's like the intermission before the next day, before we transition into something else. But we get a lot of shots in. And so we'll transition from there into offense where we'll do some – maybe some transition stuff or maybe work on parts of the offense or put in some of our sets. And then we'll go from that point, we'll transition out of that, you know, to where we would do some rebounding transition stuff. And then we'll transition from that to shooting. We might get a free throw. We'll do some free throw stuff in between. Then we'll do a water break. And then we'll finish it with some 5-on-0, 5-on-5, or either we'll do like three stops or, you know, stop, score, stop, or score, stop, score, right. You know, just what we want to focus on. It's all built around what we want to be the focus of a practice.
And so this is it's a private school, but they go home at night, correct?
Yeah.
So when do you normally practice? Like, what's your – are you always right after school?
No. We practice in the morning. I kind of like the mornings better because I think their brains are fresh.
Okay.
They haven't had the duration of a school day where so many things that can happen in a school day. They might have a tough time with their girlfriend and that thing or, you know, anything. And so you just, I like the morning practices, but by the same token, I would say that, you know, afternoon practices are great too. And so we early in the year, we do a little bit more morning because of volleyball. And then when volleyball ends, which is usually a week after we've started, we tend to go back more evening or afternoon. After school.
Okay. And how long is your practices tend to be?
Early in the year, they're 2 hours. When we get to like January, they tend to go down to about an hour and a half. And as we go further, maybe hour 15 minutes. Because I always tell guys, I'm coaching your bodies from the beginning of the year to December, and then I'm coaching your minds more so from January to March. So,
yeah, that's so true. So if you could only do three things at practice, what would you do?
Meaning three particular drills? Yeah,
concepts.
I would do shooting.
Okay.
Defense. I'm caught between player development, skill development, and or scrimmaging.
Okay.
That
might change depending on the part time of the year. What would you tell your younger self? As a coach, for somebody that's listening to this, I always like to throw out questions that I think can help younger coaches.
I would tell my younger self to enjoy the moment. Enjoy the moments, like the good moments. Like sometimes I get caught up looking at the next thing. I'm always caught looking at the next thing. And right. This is probably one of the silver linings to this time right now is that, you know, I can't look to the next thing because we don't know when the next thing is. And so you got to enjoy the moment now. So I'm enjoying family time. I'm enjoying just, you know, having a chance to just kind of reflect and think about different things and not have to be under the gun of what's next in my own mind.
Right.
So it's been good.
Now, I told my wife the first 2 or 3 weeks of this quarantine, I think I've been the most relaxed I've been in 30 years. Now I don't know if that's the case anymore, but it was like I wasn't doing 85 different things. Like I wasn't worried about buses and the camp coming up and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Nothing to do. No one was doing anything. Like the world stopped. Like
stopped.
Stopped. Literally stopped. What's your coaching philosophy? Like if I had to give you a generic in a paragraph coaching philosophy, what would that be?
If you can coach them hard, if you love them hard, the way I operate. I love my players. And they know that I don't put the carriage in front of the horse on that. I make sure I love them hard. First, and then, it gives me the flexibility to be able to coach them hard because they know it's not personal. It's not anything against them personally.
Yeah, if you want to get after them, it's like parent. It's similar to parenting, man. If you want to, they got to know at the end of the day that there's a bed to sleep and there's dinner to be had. And,
right.
You're going to get it.
You know, no matter how bad it is, yeah, you're going to get your dinner. You're going to get your.
But I'm going to always love you. But I'm always going to love you. It's like, yeah, it's very similar to that. So if I came to watch a practice and I just sat up in the upper stands and watched, what would I see?
You would see a lot of continuity going from drill to drill. You'll see, guys talking, guys always constantly trying to help each other. You would see coaches kind of spread out. And
just you're lucky. You have lots of assistants like me. I was watching those tapes. You're lucky.
Yeah. And they're good assistants. They're not just any assistants. They got great assistants.
They wear good shoes. I can tell you that. They got good shoe game. My son runs a shoe business. They got good shoe game. So I tell you.
They got some heat on the feet, huh?
They do. How do you deal with that transition between drills? Like, that was something early in my career I struggled with from going from A to B. Is there any advice you could give a young coach for that?
Plan. I think that's, and you got to kind of walk through your practice in your mind, even when you're planning. You got to figure out, okay, is this going to be a good transition? Is this a good segue to this? You got to connect the dots. You got to kind of build practices as you got to build them. You can't just plan them. You got to plan and build them. So you're working on the right things and you're transitioning the right way to the next drill. You know, that's why I say the shooting breaks, like I call shooting breaks are like water breaks for us, because we transition out. We might be going like about to get ready to pull each other hearts out on defense. And then we'll transition into some shooting because I need them to kind of bring it back, you know, because we're getting ready to bring it back up again when we get ready to go into our transition rebound stuff, where it's going to be physical. It's going to be, you know, nip and tuck. But, you know, just try to kind of like loosen it and then tighten it back up a little bit. But I would just say plan. You got to plan. Yeah. And you got to play the practice during your mind. And
it's like building a lesson. It's like building a lesson. I'm a math teacher. I'm building the lesson when I go into class. You're building a lesson. You're building. And trust me, there's going to be times where my lesson sucks. And I didn't do it well second hour. I got to fix it for third hour.
Right. Same with I tell you know, everybody, I can't have a bad practice. Coach, I can't have a bad practice. Meaning, you know, in not a literal sense, but just making sure that I do what I'm supposed to do to make sure that we're getting the most out of that particular practice. Because you don't want to waste a practice ever. You never want to waste a practice.
They're very finite. Can you? Is there one coaching moment we could dive into that would be that the audience could learn something from in your career? Something that happened in your coaching that we could dive into that would be beneficial for the listeners? A moment.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Could be a success.
Maybe from this year's championship game. We struggled so bad out of the gates. We only scored 3 points in the first quarter. We were down 13-3 after one quarter, and got a little bit better second half. But we had been beating teams by 20, 30 points throughout the playoffs, throughout even the better part of the second half of the season. We were playing a national schedule, so we were beating teams out of the state of Georgia. But we had gotten into a really good groove. You know, and this was
someone punched you.
They punched us, and I think we had nerves too. These kids had never played in a state championship game before.
Right.
So, halftime, you know, something just dawned on me to where, you know, most people would have thought that I went in and I threw every chair in the wall and overturned every table, and I did exactly the opposite. I just went in calm and said, hey guys, we're not out of this game. I don't see us being out of this game, because I didn't feel like we were never out of the game. Even though we were not playing well, we were getting beat at one point by double digits. I just said, we're not playing the game we're capable of playing. We just got to make adjustments, make some shots, and we got to get into our defenses so we can kind of switch defenses around. We weren't able to make shots, so it took away our press. It took away some of the things we wanted to do to kind of create an advantage. And, you know, I started seeing the light bulbs turn on in their eyes as I was talking to them, like, wow, he's not gonna yell, he's not gonna fuss, he's not gonna tell us how bad we were playing.
Right.
And they came out, you could tell they had a renewed confidence. And I say that to say that the younger coaches, sometimes it doesn't take all the yelling and screaming and hollering. Sometimes it just takes a mild approach where you just kind of say, hey, these are the things we got to do. We're better than this. And they got to hear that and believe that in you. And our team did. And it came out, and we ended up winning by 13.
I tell the young coaches to give your players what they need. Like, I might go yell at them if we're playing a horrible team in our league and we're up 20 and they're not playing well. Then I might – but at that point, that's a veteran coach. I'm going to compliment coach. That's a veteran coach. You knew at that point that they were probably nervous. They weren't shooting well. They needed calm at that point. They needed, hey, the storm is coming, and we're gonna put the ship through the storm, and then we're gonna come out on the other side, and we're gonna be good. Like, and that's what I mean. I think that's what you and I have coached so many freaking games that you could sense that. I can sense that when my guys need this now. They need calm, you know.
Absolutely.
We're down 2 with 33 seconds to go. they need calm. They need, well, we've done this. Here's what we're going to do. Because
they're gonna feed off your energy. And so if you give out a whole bunch of negative and, you know, boisterous energy, they're going to feed off of that. And it's going to make them kind of be, you know, very wired to where they, you know, they're worried about the next mistake. Or if this team comes out and score the first two baskets of the half, we're done. We've lost.
And to be honest with you, when we lost in the tournament trail this year, we had the worst shooting game of the year. The team we played had their best shooting game of the year. It stuff just happens sometimes too.
It does.
Well, there's nothing. I mean, it ticked me off at the time. Like, oh, didn't I rest them enough? But you know, it was like 22% differences in their shooting percentage and ours. Literally, you could play that game 100 times, and that happens maybe once. It just happened to happen on that one. It is what it is. As a coach, you kind of learn that. What do you think's the biggest change you've seen in the last 20 years in the game?
It's probably the positions. How it's come positionless. I mean, you got 6'8" guys that shoot three-pointers and they don't play inside. They just, you know, they're like big wings now.
You want Giannis.
I mean, that's literally what it is now. It's amazing how that works. But yeah, that's the biggest thing that, you know, or one of the biggest things.
Because I grew up in the era of Isaiah Thomas, and I grew up in the year of the years of like Shaquille. I mean, there was a point guard. Like, that's where Magic kind of changed the game forever. I personally think Michael's probably the best player ever, but I think Magic probably changed the game.
Yeah. I love Magic. I love Michael more, but I love Magic.
But Magic was that – people don't realize he was that big 6'8 guard. Like, he played all positions. People just didn't do that before, you know.
He was just so good.
He was so good. Were you a Laker fan? You were a Laker fan then.
Back then I was a Laker fan.
Yeah, because people don't understand, like, in the 80s, it was like war. You either Lakers or Celtics. There was no in-between.
Basically.
Like, it was literally you know, some people like Detroit in the middle, but you were a Laker or Detroit fan. There was no questions about it. All right, I'm going to ask you some quick questions. This is kind of our last segment here. I call this rapid fire. What's your favorite brand of basketball, like the ball you actually play with?
The kids like the Wilson, the ones we just had this year. We did Evos.
Okay.
They like a new ball. They like that. We like the Nike balls too.
Okay. What's one word to describe your ideal player?
Committed.
Okay. If you go to one sporting event in the world, what would it be and why?
The Masters. Seemed like it's just one of the biggest events that's just unreal.
You're close too.
I'm close and I haven't been yet, but I thought that was going to change this year. I had an inside track that it was going to change this year, but maybe
now, could you make it to Augusta, go and then drive back home?
Oh yeah. 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 Yeah,
okay.
Do that every year for Peace Jam. I mean, it's only like 2 hours, maybe max.
2 hours.
An hour and a half.
Your favorite pregame meal?
It's got to be the chicken and pasta.
Okay. One skill not being taught in the game today?
Back to the basket.
Yep, butt to the basket, man. Nobody does that anymore. What's one thing you do to relax?
Music. Okay. Yeah.
One teaching technique you think that's important?
It's a lot of them that's important, but the one that probably stands out most to me is attention to detail.
Okay.
Making sure that everybody's prepared.
Best player of all that you've seen in person. Best player you've seen in person.
Kobe Bryant.
Okay. I don't mean to throw that. I know the USA coach, like, man, oh man, it's like, I don't want you to tick anybody off. Best player of all time.
Michael Jordan.
Yeah. He never lost in the finals. That's the Last Dance has proven to me that he is the best. He never played a game seven.
Yeah. he just embodies what competing and, you know, winning is about.
Yeah. Yeah.
No matter what people say.
One thing that helped you become a better coach?
Think and thank.
And what do you mean by that?
I think those are two things you got to do a lot of as a coach. You got to think and you got to thank. Okay. You got to thank people and you got to think.
I do. And I think people do the first one. They don't thank people enough.
Yeah.
To be honest with you. Cause I mean, how many doors have been open for you? How many doors have been open for me? Because because of this round little thing you put in this rim. I mean, it's crazy.
Absolutely.
Best game you've seen in person.
It was when the Spurs were playing the Cavs, and the Cavs were down, I think, 2 games to zip, maybe. I think that was 2007, 2008, one of those years. LeBron's first finals, I think. I thought it was a great game. They end up losing. The Cavs end up losing, but it was a great, great game. That's the one that comes out first and foremost.
If you haven't seen LeBron in person, I know he's getting near the end here, but it's just like it's like watching Giannis. It's like those bodies just aren't—they're not normal.
Yeah, yeah, I love LeBron too. I love LeBron. I think always trying to compare him and Jordan are so like disillusioned because he's not Jordan. He's Magic. He's more Magic than he is Jordan.
Yes. Yes.
And,
yes.
And he's a different player, but you know, we should be trying to enjoy these last few years that he's going to get a chance to grace the court instead of sitting here trying to make comparisons.
He wants to play with his son is what I hear. What I don't think people realize, especially with these guys, is, and I see this with Wesley, a couple of my players that play in the NBA, they take care of their bodies. Like, you know what I mean?
This dude puts $1 million into his body every year.
I know. I mean, that's what they don't realize. It's like they understand that it's like a Ferrari. I mean, their bodies are a finite thing, and that's why he's still playing.
Right.
He's still playing because he's done that, to be honest with you. Absolutely. He's been able to afford it, but he's been able to do it. One word to describe your coaching style.
Competitor.
Best basketball coach of all time. I know people hate that one.
I got to go with John Wood because he was a character coach. That's what gives him the edge for me. He won a lot of championships, but I thought he did. He did it because
and what most people don't realize is most of the people that won lost. Like Coach K almost lost his job. Yeah. Like. Wouldn't lost early. Like you can learn some things from that. One book you'd recommend?
Start With Why, Simon Sinek.
That's a great book.
Great for leaders, coaches, all walks of life.
All walks of life. I mean, and that I did that with my practices. I did that with my pregame. Like 5 years ago, I read that book and it's like, why am I doing these things in pregame? They're useless. We never do them in a game. So I basically have revamped how I do, you know, the 20 minutes for a game, all that stuff. It's like, ask yourself. It's like about life. Everything you should ask why. One thing you tell a young coach, one thing.
Never waver on the amount of confidence you have in yourself. Like, always believe in yourself. Yep. Believe in what you're doing.
And invest in yourself. Well, thank you, Coach. I really appreciate it taking a Saturday. I guess it's Saturday. It feels like every day is Saturday. But, you know, I appreciate you taking the time. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, everybody. I hope you're enjoying this. If you are, maybe go over and check out Coach Collins' other podcasts, Teacher Side Gig and High School Hoops. Subscribe, like, leave a 5-star review. Maybe. And then also you can go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. All right. Have a great day.
Sports Social Podcast Network.